Welcome to Having Words. My name is Josh Martello, and in this podcast, I promote insightful conversations and create quite meaningful content with some ambitious, motivated, and inspirational special guests. This week, I chat with Tom Natras. He speaks about the struggles and successes he had creating his business, Nat Media. We also talk about the ways in which we've expressed our creativity and the type of risks and sacrifices that are needed for you to take control of your life and become your own boss. To support the podcast and receive exclusive content such as the post show with Tom, you can head over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/havingwords. Welcome to the Having Words podcast. My name is Josh Martello. Today I'm joined by an old university friend. I say old, but we literally graduated like a few months ago. Tom Natras.
Hello.
I got your surname right.
You did get it right. Yeah. It's not like we had to practice that a lot beforehand at all.
No. I'm low-key intimidated because of this amazing setup that you have here. And also because we're using your microphones, we're using your setup and everything.
Yeah.
Which I love. It's great. It's so carefree for me.
Well, yeah. Welcome to the setup. I feel like I've got all the pressure now making sure that everything's everything's in order and everything's recording right now.
It's true. I need to try and relax a little bit and just enjoy it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'll be looking over at this device we've got going on like, ah, because if I mess this up, I've ruined your podcast. It's
literally.
Like it's mine.
Yeah. All the pressure's on you.
Yeah. Well, I'll do my best.
Now, Tom, we obviously know each other through university. We were on the same course.
Yeah, we were, I think.
Media and communications.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think maybe we're in a few seminars together, which is like how I know of you and which is why I follow you on socials, which is why I know you have your own business and everything as well.
Yes.
Before we get into discussing more about how we know each other, mm-hmm. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do?
So my name is Tom Natras. I guess what I spend most of my time doing pretty much is running my business. It's called Nat Media. It's a content creation and social media marketing agency. I work with brands doing different things from sort of building audiences online and creating content and distributing that content for brands, I guess.
Easy.
In a nutshell,
there's a lot under the cover there.
Well, I'm sure we'll get into it. Sure we will.
That's just the design of the social agency. It's like, wow, you do a lot. Have you been on a podcast before? Now, this is a typical question that I ask people, but obviously I know that you do podcast creation for some of your clients.
Yeah. So yeah, as part of what I do, as you say, is create podcasts for other people. So I'm quite familiar with being on them and hosting them and stuff like that. So
Tom, what I want to kind of talk about in today's episode is more about how you got to where you are today, because not only for the listeners, but I find it quite interesting and inspirational listening to how you got to this point where you have this setup, you have this studio, and you have a client base and everything as well. So really, like, what I want to speak to you about is really finding the inspiration to start a business, to realize that you wanted to be creative and that you wanted to go into something creative.
I don't know where it came from. I've always sort of been creative growing up. I always was into making music and playing all these different instruments and acting. I danced, I did pretty much everything. And then when I went to uni, I really became interested in sort of the creative side of things in terms of filming and production.
Like professionally almost.
Professionally, yeah. That sort of side of things. And I just sort of rolled with that, and I decided that that is something that I wanted to pursue. I set myself a challenge when I was at the start of uni to be self-employed by the time I left. And I've still got that written on a piece of paper somewhere. That's the one aim I wrote down. So throughout uni, it was just a constant aim to just achieve that.
Yeah.
So just constantly, what can I do to put myself in that position? That's simple as that, really.
That's what started the stepping stones for the rest of all of this.
Yeah, as I say, I don't know where that sparked from. I think I just always had it.
Yeah, I definitely see that as well. And like talking to you before this, we realised we have a lot of very similar mindset traits.
Yeah.
Not only mindset traits, but also that we both played Seymour in Little Shop of Horrors once.
We did,
a few years
yeah.
ago, which is ridiculous and crazy that we played the same character.
I know, yeah.
But
we're the same person.
We're the same person. Just you're a few, like I was saying earlier, a few leaps ahead of me or where I want to be.
I wouldn't say leaps. I'm a scratching. No, I'm not even that. We're very equal. But that's why, like, seeing your work on Instagram, seeing this set up on Instagram, and just the stuff that I've been exposed to of you, it's why it's been so interesting for me. I hope that the listeners gain some sort of value from listening to this, that maybe that not only if they want to start a business, but also just maybe fueling that creative outlet, like kind of finding what they want to do. So obviously, like you said, you kind of found more so recently that you wanted to maybe go into more video production stuff and everything.
Yeah, it was, I think, the marketing side of things as well. I think I became really obsessed with YouTubers in that space. Not necessarily YouTubers, but business people and entrepreneurs on social media who were doing sort of marketing things like that. And I became really obsessed with it. In fact, now I think about it, all marketing really is just attention. It's learning how to get attention, learning how to get eyeballs. That's all it is. From being very, very young, I remember that I was always known as that sort of kid who was a bit of an attention seeker and always wanted the eyes on him.
So similar, it's crazy.
Always finding the way to get people interested in what I was doing.
Yeah, and I think from my point of view as well, like that does kind of, because we grew up with it, that does mean that we are a little bit tailored about knowing how people work and knowing what will get the attention a little bit as well.
Exactly, yeah. I understood how to get into people's minds, and I was just a show off basically. It's not any more clever than that, really. I was a show off as a kid, but looking back now, that really goes into what I do now, because my whole job is just trying to get eyeballs and attention to other people. That's now what I do.
I feel like it very directly evolved into suddenly a very professional trait, and something which I feel like a lot of people have to kind of learn through like maybe a decade or so of their life to kind of gain. But because maybe in a similar sense, we got it through wanting attention seeking, it evolved from maybe not a desirable trait, but it has evolved from it and gotten to the same point professionals have gotten to.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Yeah.
We can position this as kind of a narrative. So you found the inspiration, you realized you wanted to go into it and everything. So how did you realize that you wanted to kind of work for yourself or have your own business rather than working for someone else?
It's just never really appealed to me working for someone else. I've always wanted to build my own thing. Maybe it comes down to that sort of being slightly selfish or whatever in some way. I always wanted to create my own sort of projects and my own brand. So I didn't fancy taking orders from anyone else. I wanted to do what I wanted when I wanted it. And I guess I knew that, and I just ran for it. I knew that that's what I wanted to do, and I just wanted to pursue that. So I just did everything I could to make sure that I could get into a position where it's possible to do so, I guess.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting is a lot of people have that mentality of like, I want to work for myself, I don't want to be told what to do. And I feel like 90% of them have that mentality, and then they want to do anything but that. Whereas I think maybe you saw the opportunity about like you could work for yourself in what you're passionate in as well, with still having that mentality of being like, I don't want to work for someone else.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's 100% it. I mean, a lot of people, it is great to work for yourself. There's so many benefits to it. But I mean, as you say, a lot of people, they're all talk and they don't necessarily take action on that. And they'll say, yeah, I want to work for myself, or I'm going to own a business one day. And
it's just like, because they don't want to work for someone
else. Yeah. And it's just like, okay, what's your business going to be, mate? And they're like, I don't know. I find it, whatever. I just always had it in the back of my mind that is something I wanted to do.
Playing off that a little bit as well, from your point of view, working for yourself for the last how many years?
Probably
officially.
Start full-time officially, not too long, probably like a year and a half. Probably.
Yeah.
And before that, when I really started, 3.5 years in total now.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say is the biggest differences, the biggest advantages to working for yourself rather than working for someone else, and also the disadvantages and everything as well? Like the biggest differences between the two?
I mean, the biggest difference is working for someone else, whether you do something good or bad, it reflects on them. It reflects on the business and the wider business that you're working for. When you're working for yourself, it's great in a way because you do something amazing that reflects on you, and you get the benefits of that, whatever that is, whether that's financial benefits or just recognition or whatever. But at the same time, which is what I think a lot of people would find hard if they work for themselves, is anything that goes wrong, that's on you as well. You're at the end of it at the end of the day. So you have to cope with all those sort of struggles as well. I think another big thing is working for someone else. You're in an environment with loads of different people.
And you're there 9 to 5, obviously, usually. Whereas when you're working on yourself, it can be very lonely because you have to, for things to work, you a lot of the time you're working alone, which is what I do a lot at the moment. And you're working really long hours. So you have to sacrifice a lot of nights out and social events and stuff like that. You have to say goodbye to that because it's difficult.
To get what you want, you do need that sacrifice. And I think that is something which is quite interesting as well. It's kind of like, what for you was the most challenging sacrifice that you had to give up? Like, was it friends? Was it certain relationships with people? Was it the gym? Was it activities that you enjoyed doing? Or was it going out drinking? Like, what was it for you personally?
I think it was a combination. I wouldn't say the gym. I think that I sort of treat that separate. I tried to go to the gym every day. I tried to exercise and stuff like that. Just for mental purposes, I think that's so important. But everything else you said, drinking less, not going out on Friday night because I've got to work on Saturday to build something, or this guy is sort of making fun of what I'm doing, so we won't talk to him anymore, we'll get rid of him, or he doesn't believe this, or whatever. So getting rid of certain people in your circle, surrounding yourself with good people is a big one.
Yeah, people that can support you. And I know that I've actually seen a lot of documentaries where, I know this is probably in the extreme sense, but a lot of celebrities, why they do stupid things is because their friends are so supportive and so encouraging that even if they're like, hey, I want to do something really stupid, they're going to encourage them no matter what. And I suppose that on a smaller scale, you know, you need that kind of that supportive bubble around you. And I know that recently, I think I've expressed this in previous podcasts, but I've actually had to reevaluate a few of my friendships that I've had because they weren't really offering the kind of positivity and support that I felt like I was giving them and that I needed. And if anything, some of them in particular were actually dragging me down and were quite negative influences on myself and what I wanted to be.
So important. Get rid of them. Just get rid of them. Simple as that.
Easier said than done.
Yeah, it is. But you've got to see the wider picture and think, like, you know, you're not going to get where you want to be if you are hanging out with these certain people. So
something which you touched on briefly just now is the fact that you do work alone as well. And I feel like if you grew up the way that I grew up in very similar senses, like you are a very sociable person. How do you kind of entertain that idea and that kind of social structure of socializing, but whilst working for yourself in quite maybe like an isolated environment?
It is difficult because I am a people person, and I've always wanted to surround myself with loads of people and be very social. So it can be really hard and really difficult to a lot of the time just sit on your own all day. A lot of nights as well, late nights, just working on your own. I don't know if there's sort of an answer of how you cope with it. I think it's just understanding that it's part of what you've got to do to get to where you want to be.
Yeah. Like you were saying earlier, seeing the bigger picture of it.
Yeah, because eventually the aim isn't to just work on my own. Eventually the aim is to work with like-minded people and have teams and employees and stuff like that eventually as
and
well.
And grow naturally,
And grow naturally, yeah. But it's just the natural first stepping stone is, unfortunately, you've got to do a lot of stuff on your own. So it can be quite lonely, and it can be, it can affect your mental health as well. Like, I think this year, definitely, as I've sort of gone full-time doing what I'm doing, is the first time that I've ever really struggled with anything mental health related, because as you can imagine, it is difficult. It can be lonely, but as you say, you've just got to see past that and make sure that you give yourself a break every now and again, and you are mixing with people. You don't just want to become sort of too isolated from everyone.
Exactly. And I feel like you can thrive in that environment where you are just by yourself the entire time, but it's just not healthy.
Yeah. And you need to do other things and meet other people to be creative as well. If you're just sitting in a room with white walls all day, you're not going to be a very interesting person, and you're not going to come up with very good ideas. So I make an effort to be as sociable as I can and to mix with as many people as I can and keep that thing that you miss out on when you're working for yourself.
And it's like basic needs as well. I know that you might have learned this as well through media, but like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, some of the basic needs that people need is social interaction as well.
Yeah.
So like at the end of the day, like you do need to speak to people just to kind of mentally stay aware and
it's
quite
it's
stable.
So important. I mean, sometimes I go through days without really speaking to many people, and it shows, because by the end of it, I don't really know what I'm doing. Like you go insane a little bit, you lose sense
of time a little bit. Yeah. So when you do speak to people, time comes back and you're like, oh, okay.
100%.
So another aspect that I want to kind of ask your opinion on is obviously initially the inspiration, like you said, was kind of always there. It was just kind of fueling it a little bit more to kind of snowball into effect.
Yeah.
But how do you stay inspired and motivated in your current stage of the business?
Because I love doing it.
Yeah.
And I think that is the answer. Like, there's not really, it's not too complicated. If you don't love it, you're not going to stay motivated doing it. But I love working for myself. I love the clients I work with. I love creating the stuff I do. I love all aspects of it, really. So I've never really struggled to stay motivated. I've never struggled to get out of bed in the morning and do it, because it just feels natural to do.
It's who you are. It's in your blood. Yeah.
Yeah, so if someone's doing something that they think they like, but they're not motivated, and they're thinking, well, why aren't I actually enjoying this? Why do I not want to stay up late tonight and finish this? Chances are they don't actually love it like they think they do.
Yeah.
And then they have to look elsewhere, I guess.
How did you first start up? Because I know that for me, the biggest struggle, even with the podcast, was I overthought it so much. And I know that a lot of the listeners to this podcast, they might have heard me speak about this before. But like, I suddenly had that just do it mentality. And I was like, I just need to release an episode. Once I've released an episode, everything else will fall into place. And it did. I just needed to do it. I can think about it for 100 years. But like, I wasn't making any content. Even though I was thinking about it so much, I was getting that satisfaction of being like, oh, I'm making stuff, but I actually wasn't. And for you, like, when did that take place? When was that turnover to be like, okay, I actually want to start doing stuff now?
I don't think I necessarily dwelled on it for too long. I knew that marketing and content creation was something that I wanted to do. So the first thing was just thinking, and I guess I'll talk tactically about the specific sort of steps. The first thing was just to think, okay, how do I get involved in this at all? Let's not worry about money. Let's not worry about what I'm actually creating, if it's any good. And bear in mind that the aim was always to finish uni in a position to be sort of self-sufficient. So, and I started this way before, sort of in uni. So I never worried about anything else. It was just, how can I start? And the first thing is just to get a portfolio and get experience, just work in the field. So I would constantly email and cold call so many businesses around Brighton and brands that I thought are small enough to potentially want to work with someone like me. And I emailed so many, and the majority didn't reply. And then maybe out of 100, two replied. And then out of those two, one actually wanted to meet me in person. And even then, it rarely ever came to anything. But it was just a case of just pursuing people and saying that, and offering them something. So whether it's I'll work for free, just for the experience or whatever. And that's the route that I went round. I just told everyone I'd work for free and I would create stuff for them. And I didn't really know what I was doing. I was really like naive to everything. Luckily, one guy who's still a client today, who I still work with, took me on and said, okay, let's try this. And this was after like bugging him so much. He was probably just like, let's just give this guy something to do so we'll leave us alone.
Yeah, I suppose he admired your persistence a little bit as well.
Maybe, or he just thought I was annoying probably more than anything. He was probably just like, will this shut you up? All right, make a video, whatever. So I made a couple of videos for him and they were rubbish. Like, it was the first time I'd ever even done it. I had no idea what I was doing, but I just kept at it and I just kept creating stuff and learning how to use the tools and stuff like that. And eventually I had a sort of a little portfolio going on. And the thing that I noticed very quickly was every business knows another business, or every person, every CEO knows someone else. And I realized very quickly that there was a lot of demand for what I was doing. There was a lot of demand for social media and for marketing, because a lot of these businesses who I first worked with at the start didn't really know, they knew they should be doing these things, but they didn't know how, because they were maybe that generation above or whatever. So people got word of what I was doing, and I just worked. I worked with every single person. I said yes to everyone. I kept bugging people, and it sort of spiraled from there until eventually I started being able to charge because I could produce semi-decent things.
Mm. But you only got to that point through the experience of the mistakes and of the kind of failing as well.
Yeah, it took ages. I mean, I was still working like a pub or whatever when I first started to save up money to buy a camera and to buy a microphone. And to pay for a website and an email address and all these little things that you don't really think about, because I always had that end goal in mind that eventually it'd all be worth it.
Yeah. And in my eyes, like, you've hit the point where it is worth it. But I suppose you have such a forward thinking mindset that, like, you see it in 5 years time, or like how you can be bigger, or maybe not bigger, but like how you can improve yourself a lot more as well. Work.
I'm always looking forward. To me, like right now, it is still the very, very beginning. I'm aware of that.
What I want to address actually is the idea of the kind of the fear behind it as well. Because I know that an aspect for me is the idea of that, what if I do fail? You know, how can I get over that? And also the overthinking, you know, like I was saying for the podcast, I was overthinking producing it so quickly, and how maybe you overcame those struggles a little bit as well.
Well, here's the thing. What's the worst that could happen? Nothing bad is going to happen if you do something and you don't do it well and you fail. There's nothing. You might look a bit silly, you might look stupid. But apart from that, you're not missing out on anything. So why not?
Yeah.
Because I've never struggled with that, because my thought has always just been the fear of regret about not doing something more than the fear of what if I mess up. I just don't have that. I don't know why. But I will do things that I want to do because I don't want to wake up in 10 years time and be, oh, I missed that wave. I wanted to do this and now I'm doing this. So that's just what's driven me to do that. What's the worst that could happen? It's as simple as that. Like, just do stuff. Try.
How do you think you got to that point? Like, did it develop naturally, or was there a turning point where you were like, you know what, I'm just going to do it and I'm just not going to care. You know, if it goes badly, it goes badly. That's what happens, but I can just learn from it. Like, how did you develop that mentality? Like, do you think people out there right now that could be listening who want to start their own thing, no matter what it is, from YouTubing to blogging to making something to maybe just artwork and selling their artwork, like, and they do have that fear. Do you think it's possible for them to have that mentality switch and then in a year's or 2 years' time be a lot less caring if they do slip up?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you're already thinking about starting that blog or starting that business or selling this or whatever, you're a quarter of the way there because you've got the idea. So you clearly want to do something, which is great. I think it's definitely possible to change that mindset. It just comes down to think about the regret and think about how you feel if you don't do this. Because if you do it and you fail, great. You can say, at least I tried that. And you'll know. But imagine not knowing. Imagine being 55 and going, oh, I actually really liked painting, but I actually never started that art business in 2019 when it's the easiest time ever to start a business. Like, imagine that. To me, that just sucks. Like, so just think of it in that way. Just change how you're thinking about it and just be like, I'm missing out on something by not doing this.
Yeah, and I suppose at some point that actually outweighs all of the fears anyway, and that's when you can actually start getting the ball rolling a little bit as well.
Yeah, and just practically just literally do it. Just count to three and do it. Just start that Instagram page with your paintings on, you know, buy an ad or make a, I don't know, call someone and give them a painting and ask for a review. Whatever it is, just do a step every day towards it. I guess that's No, that's all you're getting. That's my advice.
The direction of your agency is more so content creation through videos and socials and everything as well.
Yep.
Like, is this the natural progression of your business? Has it kind of fell into this category, or have you taken it this way? Like, where do you want to take it? Do you want to keep it broad, or do you want to like just become a video production agency?
I think over time it becomes, even now, it's become sort of more obvious. And at the start, you can't be too picky. So if this business that you're not really that interested in, but they're giving you work and no one else is, then you take it. And as you get more clients and you become more in demand, you can be a bit more picky about what you want to get involved with. So, I mean, for me now, a lot of what I do involves personal brands. So YouTubers and social influencers and stuff like that. And that's a big passion. That's something I'm obsessed with. I love that. So that's the direction I'm going with. I definitely want to keep it as what we do now, which is sort of your full package, because we can work with a brand and it's not like, oh, we can make you a video. We can come up with a strategy for that video. We can literally produce and edit that video, and we can distribute it to get that video into the right eyeballs to achieve your business goals and objectives.
Yeah.
So we can provide a brand with the whole package, which if you just make videos or you just take photos, you can't necessarily do. So the aim of Nat Media is to provide that sort of one-stop shop for brands to manage everything, and to boost their presence online and to create that brand awareness around them. So we do it for every medium. So podcasting, video, photography, written word. We understand all the platforms. You know, we don't just manage your social media. We create the stuff for it as well.
Yeah.
So you don't need to mess around with loads of different people. It's all in one place. And I think that's what the brands I work with enjoy about it. And it's what I enjoy as well, because I'm interested in all of it. So I want to do all of it.
And I suppose it is really appealing. Like from a small brand, they're like, oh, we know, like you said earlier, we know we should like fuel our social, but it's a lot of work. We'd have to hire one person to do this, to do that. And I suppose a company like this, and like you said earlier, like there is kind of this niche in the market for social creation and like management as well and scheduling. And I know that I do a lot of scheduling for the agency that I work for. We use Sprout Social, to schedule all of the posting and everything. And like that alone, the scheduling platform is such a massively competitive market. Like we were looking at a few other scheduling platforms, and that's a whole other business, which is like a war going on between them, which you just don't see normally. Mm. What I want to know a little bit is maybe your opinion on certain directions of creative projects. So for example, like did you ever have the idea of making a YouTube channel for yourself? And if you did, why didn't you do it? And if you had done it, like which direction would you have taken it in? Basically, like if anyone out there listening right now has just started a YouTube channel specifically, or they want to make one, what's your advice to maybe kind of gaining some traction and increasing that engagement and the viewership?
So advice for someone that sort of wants to be that sort of personal brand sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think the problem is now it's so saturated. It's not 2012 anymore. You can't just hop on YouTube and make a video going to the shops and it'll blow up. It's impossible.
Everyone's doing it.
And unless you know the right people who are already in the industry who can sort of sort you out with you know, cross promotion and stuff like that, it's really difficult. It doesn't mean it's impossible, but it does mean that you have to try a lot harder and you have to invest a lot more time and energy and even money as well into it. So if you're on YouTube, the key is, I guess, just to find a niche that literally nobody is doing and no one's thought about yet, and just go at it and go at it hard. I mean, if we literally, I don't know if you know much about YouTube in particular, the YouTube scene, but if we just look up like in the last couple of years, who's blown up, the only real person who's gone big is Mr. Beast, who's a big YouTuber. And he literally spends like hundreds of thousands of pounds on every single video. And doing all these crazy things that weren't necessarily being done before. But apart from that, no one's really coming up because it's so difficult. So as I say, if you're going to do it, you have to put everything into it and you have to find something that is unique. But also find other avenues. It's not just, you know, YouTube is very mature now as a platform, as a social platform. But there's so many other platforms. LinkedIn, if you're sort of into that sort of business side of things, or if you have a business, using LinkedIn, because that's still in its sort of infancy, or at least it's not as advanced as YouTube and Facebook right now.
It's still finding its feet a little bit, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, exactly. TikTok is another one.
I see that a lot, and like one of the influencers and entrepreneurs that I speak about quite a lot is Gary Vee. I'm sure you've heard of him. And he speaks about more so recently about how TikTok, people are missing out on opportunities by not going there. If they want to make content, if they want to make video content, you should just fill everything on TikTok.
TikTok is a big one because, and I've been saying this to so many people recently, because, and I downloaded TikTok probably 2 months ago just to see what it's about. And just because I want to familiarize myself with the platform. But the numbers speak for themselves. Like, it's growing rapidly, but it's still in that stage that Instagram was probably 2 or 3 years ago. So I think TikTok's a big one, especially if you're trying to get a younger audience. But eventually, you know, Facebook was a young audience at first. Instagram was a young audience. So it'll grow as well. Podcasting is a big one as well. Mm. Voice is massive. And that's why you're ahead of the trend right now, or at least you're on it, you're riding it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think it's so interesting, because I feel like 2003 is when the term podcasting kind of actually happened in the first place and everything. And then 2007 is when it started taking off. And more so recently, over the last 2 years, I was saying this to you earlier, celebrities have hopped on board and they're bringing all of their fan base onto it as well, which is, you can look at it from two sides. You can either see it as like, oh, damn it, literally like they're taking the attention away from your own podcast, your own content. Yeah. But at the same time, like the positive side of it, they're bringing people to to podcasting as well. I know that on a smaller scale, like for myself, with my mum only listened, she didn't even know what a podcast was. And so I started making it. She was like, oh, I'll listen to it. Yeah. Now she listens to every episode. Hi, mum. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Josh's mum.
But because of that, now she checks out a whole bunch of people that she looks at, like influencers that she sees on television and stuff. And yeah. She listens to their podcast. And that could be the same for celebrities, you know, like their fan base are now being... podcasting and iTunes and Spotify is being swamped with suddenly all these consistent viewers and listenerships, and like if I can just receive 1% of one fan base's listenership, like that would be massive for me.
That's the way round it is, because it's I don't think it's right to say that all these sort of established real world celebrities are coming onto even all these social media platforms. They're all starting YouTube channels and all sorts now, obviously. I don't think it's really true to say that they're sort of taking the attention away, because I don't think they are. Because believe it or not, you know, Daniel Radcliffe or Peter Crouch or whoever it is, he's not taking the attention away from your podcast. You know, especially if you're just starting out and you don't have many viewers, those viewers aren't just going to, people listen to more than one podcast. Mm. So it's like you said, all it is that's great for the podcast community.
It's bringing people onto it.
Bringing people in. It's a good thing. So I don't think people should be negative about that. But yeah, it's a great time to start. It's the best time to start was last year, and it's only going to get worse every year. So like, if anyone's interested in sort of building a personal brand and doing that, podcasting is the one. It just is.
Yeah. It's like what they say. It's like the best time to start was yesterday. The second best time is today.
That's it. That's it right now. Because this right now is the sort of YouTube a few years ago for podcasting. And the other thing great about podcasting is because there's so many people trying to build brands online now, the one of the only ways to sort of get the attention of an audience and maintain that is depth, which a podcast gives, because you have long form conversations like this. You really know a person a lot more than just a few posts on Instagram or whatever. So, and also you own that podcast. You make a YouTube video, YouTube own that video now.
Yeah, they take a cut, you know, like through podcasting, like if we talk about financially, you can get different programs where you can literally maintain how you earn money if you even wanted to through it.
Well, I mean, what platform are we on now? iTunes, Spotify?
iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, literally any podcast directory. We're on YouTube as well.
Exactly. You can take Having Words anywhere. Yeah. It's yours. You own that. Mm. You can't take your YouTube show anywhere. There's not really anywhere else that you can put it on.
Yeah,
know?
Like Vimeo. Like, to be fair, no, yeah,
you know, so that's also the beauty of it, because if a platform lets you down, you've got so much more choice. So yeah, I'm obsessed with podcasting. I love it.
Yeah. I suppose like the idea of making content and creating an audience on podcasting or YouTube can be translated, obviously maybe a little bit differently, into creating blogs, into doing other creative outlets as well. And what's quite interesting is, like, throughout your experience of making content for businesses and everything, how have you seen the space and how have you understood the space more so against your preconceptions for it? Like, how did you see it before you were understood fully what Instagram was, what content creation was? Because I know for me working at the design agency, I had no idea how much energy and money and time was put into one singular post.
I don't know necessarily how I realized you're talking about. How did you realize that it was something big? It was something important, right?
Yeah, and like what kind of like what you learned going into it, like whilst creating a business around content creation, what you learn, kind of these preconceptions of it being like an easy thing, you just post it, and like the management side of it as well, and kind of like almost like your top tip almost for making an effective content strategy.
Okay, well, I guess it's firstly a lot more tactical than people think, especially people that aren't in the industry. It's very calculated, a lot of what you see online. It's very planned out. Top tips, I mean, consistency, and just first thing is just do stuff, firstly, because so many people are saying, I want to do this, and they're not actually doing it. Consistency is important. Obviously, being different and being creative is important. In terms of tactically, like, posting content, what I do with a lot of my clients is I'm able to get a lot of content out of just one little thing. So, for example, this podcast right here could create like 100 pieces of content if you really wanted it to. Mm. You can, if we were, we could be filming right now. We're not, but we could make a video that could go on YouTube. You could split that video up into 7 mini clips that could go on Instagram.
Yeah, go across socials.
15 that can go on Facebook. It's obviously on Spotify already.
you know, you can write a blog post about it. You can do some, you can tweet some quotes about it. So you can get so much content out of one thing. And especially if you're working, if you're just on your own and you're a creator on your own, that's the best way forward, because you're not, you can't physically create 7 videos a day. You can't do it, but you can, because you can create 2 videos a week and use that to funnel into other types of content, if that makes sense.
No, it definitely does. And I think that this is something that we should probably focus back more on. So is that you are your own boss, and like in the situation of making content through podcasting, you get to decide which direction you take it in. Like I know for Having Words personally, I've completely refurbished and rebranded everything, the direction we take, the format, the redesign and everything. And like it's easy to do it because I can be my own boss. And like, if we bring that back to you and your business, you know, you are your own boss. You stay motivated because it's just in you. It's who you are. You enjoy what you do at the end of the day as well. And I suppose that brings us on to like financially, like how can you financially support your passion?
So as I said at the start, I was never concerned to make money, because I knew if I was focused on money, I was focusing on the wrong stuff. Because if you're chasing the money, it's very difficult to get to the position. Well, at least I find it very difficult to get to the position that I'm now at. I think that's fair to say. So if you're only motivated by money, guess what? You don't make much at first. So you're just going to quit. So, at the start, I was working like 2 other jobs and not spending money on literally anything apart from just rent and food to be able to save up to buy equipment. And then it was just a case of focusing on creating good stuff and making connections and get into a place where brands started to pay me to do stuff for them. And then I could quit the other jobs, which is what I did. And then I started just working on that, saving every bit I can, and then reinvesting that money back into it. So, you know, saving all the money from making one video and then using that to buy a new microphone, or using that to buy all these SD cards.
And then once you have more stuff,
it's just snowballing. That's all it is. So it's not rocket science. It's literally just you do what you've got to do. If you've got to work five jobs, because what's your alternative? You haven't got one. So there's no point making excuses. Like I had no money at the start, and now I obviously just do this full time and make my own way. So it's just a case of like, you have to make that initial money. And then once you're getting paid to do what you do, you don't buy stupid things, and you just reinvest it back into yourself and trust yourself that it's going to come back, and work hard and it will.
That's a very interesting point that you add about like, don't spend it on stupid things. That's something which a lot of people that I follow on Instagram and YouTube, they reiterate a lot. You know, they say, don't, like, do you really need that? You don't need that. Like, invest it into yourself more so. Like, especially with your energy and your friends, invest it into yourself. But I suppose financially as well, with money, invest it into what you want to do and your passion.
That's a big one I found, just investing into yourself and like, sit and just working out where's good to put your money, especially when you haven't got any at first. So like when I first started, I literally wouldn't buy anything unnecessary. I wouldn't buy any clothes. I wouldn't buy anything unless it was going to make me more money in the future. So people, I remember once I was taking a client out for dinner and I spent like 50 quid on the dinner. And I didn't have to, it was just whatever. It was just because I wanted to build relationships with someone. And I remember my friends were saying, that's stupid. You're just wasting your money right now. You've literally just spent 50 quid on a dinner with someone you don't even know. But I realized that it's not, because that is actually investing into a relationship, someone I'm now great friends with, who I work with very closely.
And that was part of the foundations that made that friendship.
Yeah, it comes back. So you got to think always ahead, and what can I do with this little bit of money that will allow me to be worth more in the future? Why should a client pay me more now than they did a year ago? Well, because I've now got better equipment, because that's where I put my money, or because I've got more experience or whatever. So
also finding that balance as well. I know a lot of people would be like, okay, I want to quit my job and go fully into what I want to do creatively. It might be YouTube, it might be blogging, it might be making a business or anything. What would you say to them? Because it is finding that balance as well, like you found as well. Like you had these other jobs and you were financially supporting what your passion with these jobs. Is it doing that to begin with? Or did you only have to do that because you did have this unfortunate, like you were restricted by money, like you were living in a flat, you at the very least had to pay that off?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be realistic to a certain extent. You can't, it's literally impossible to work for free for a year and not make any money, how are you going to live? You know, so you have to sort of get that basis first, obviously, before you can do anything else. You have to make sure you're eating. You have to make sure you've got a roof over your head. So I think it depends on the situation you're in. If you're fortunate enough that you can live at home with your parents, and they're buying your food and they're supporting you, and maybe you need to work one day a week, and you know, you can focus all your other time on building that experience and stuff, great, do that, obviously. But if you literally can't, if your parents are in a different country and you're over here in England and you're thinking, oh, I can just quit everything and dream and it'll all happen, it just won't, you know, because you'll be on the street before you know it. So you've just got to be realistic, and you've got to plan things out and work out when the best time is to take that leap and stop and go full in, you know, on the passion, I guess.
Yeah.
And yeah, just being realistic about when you can literally afford to do that, really.
That's quite interesting, being realistic with the balance as well.
Dream big, but be realistic, because yeah, it's all a balance. Mm. It's all a balance.
Now, Tom, I feel like we're speeding through this, which
Sorry,
is good.
I'll slow down.
No, it's fine. To be fair, like, we've gotten to the rapid fire questions.
Oh, is that the last bit?
That's the last bit before a few other little bits.
Okay.
But yeah,
I'm going forever, questions. So whatever.
So usually in this stage with the rapid fire questions, I usually tell my guest it doesn't have to be rapid. And I feel like with you, you're fine with it not being rapid.
I can speak very,
very slowly or very fast. So literally five questions, mainly to do with you.
I'm
and
nervous.
The business.
I actually don't know
and
these.
Your expertise and everything. I make sure the guest hasn't heard these beforehand. They're quite, I feel like in some sense, you've answered a few of them in certain aspects of the question. But we'll start off simple with question one. Not question two, question one.
If that makes sense, actually, yeah.
If you could give one piece of advice to 18-year-old Tom, what would it be? How old are you now? 22?
I'm 21 now.
21? Okay.
Yeah. See, that is complicated. Let me think. I'd advise to myself.
It's difficult because when I ask this similar question to a lot of people, they think, well, I wouldn't say anything because, you know, I'm where I am today because of, you know, the thoughts and everything, that the experience that I had back then. So I wouldn't change anything. But at the same time, could you not accelerate that? What would you say to 18-year-old Tom?
I would start everything earlier, probably. I would say, listen, man, have lots of fun, because you're 18, and 18 is literally the best age. I mean, we're a good age now, don't get me wrong. But just don't be so serious about everything, I think. And it sounds weird, because maybe if I wasn't so serious, I wouldn't now be running my own business and doing all this. So it's difficult to know to that extent, but I would say, like, liven up a little bit and loosen up and have fun and enjoy being really young and reckless and stupid, I think. That's what I'd say.
Yeah, I like how you took the reckless as well.
Yeah.
Dangerous, maybe not dangerous.
Yeah, I would just say relax, but also work hard. I think just get the balance right.
Mm.
I don't know if that was a bad answer.
That was probably a good answer. No, that was a good answer. Life's about balance.
We've mentioned balance so much.
But it is.
I promise I'm not usually this obsessed with balance. But
well, you are actually balanced on one foot right now on a plank of wood.
I have been the whole podcast, actually.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Exactly. I'm doing well. My legs are hurting a little bit.
You're actually bleeding from the kneecaps. Now, this question we kind of addressed earlier to do with money. And you say, obviously, you enjoy what you're doing here. But obviously, money does tailor the kind of direction that you can take the business in. But if money wasn't a concern at all, what would you be doing for a living? Would you fully invest into podcasting, YouTube? Would you be like, oh, you know what? I just want to do charity stuff. Like, if money wasn't a concern for you at all.
I would be some sort of presenter, host, podcaster,
interesting,
entertainer.
Yeah.
That's always has been and always is really the big goal. And in a way, Nat Media and what I'm doing now is a vehicle to allow me to achieve that in the long term. That's what I really want to do.
I like that, yeah.
Because what I'm doing now, I'm learning and I'm knowledgeable now about production and the creation side of things, also how to market yourself and all this. But I think I'd be kidding myself if I didn't say that the end goal was for me to be that brand that I'm promoting. But this is a great vehicle to have the freedom and the money to be able to do that.
To get to that point.
That's my next challenge. That's what I want to pursue next. Definitely.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Question number three, what's one piece of advice you'd want to give to someone who wants to begin a freelance or a self-employed career? I thought we've touched on it quite a lot about the whole idea of getting balance and understanding actually what you want and if you do want to fully invest into it. But if it was just one bit of advice for that kind of person who wants to work for themselves and use themselves as a service for another company or client?
Check yourself and make sure you actually do want to do it, because it's very, this whole idea of entrepreneurship is very glamorized at the moment, and it's sort of the cool, the in thing to do.
To put it on your Instagram profile.
People do. You're the guy if you can be, you know, the entrepreneur, and everything, everyone thinks it's so cool and stuff. But the majority of the time, people aren't okay with missing those nights out and not spending your money on alcohol or food or stupid things. Not the food, buy food, it's important. But not spending money on stupid things, doing the long nights, not going to the social events, investing in yourself, being lonely all day, every day and all night because you're just working so hard, and people aren't prepared to do that.
Mm.
So my advice would be, look in the mirror. Is this you? Is this actually what you want to do, or do you want to do it because it's cool? In 20 years, if it's not the cool thing to do anymore and working a 9-to-5 is cool, what would you want to do then? Think about it, and get that self-awareness about, is this actually you? Because if it's not, it's not going to work.
Yeah, and you've got to accept that.
Yeah, because if working for someone else is what you actually set out to do, great. Because that's what you're going to be happiest doing. Because you'll be miserable if you think, oh, I want to say I'm an entrepreneur on Instagram, but this is actually boring and horrible, and I've got no money and I've got no friends and I'm lonely.
Mm.
It's not for me. So
it's looking at the bad side of it as well. Like you said, like everything, not only being an entrepreneur, but everything is glamorized so much so. But it's being okay with the bad bits, because obviously there are massive bad bits. Yeah. You don't get in other jobs, the loneliness, the hours and everything.
And it's a lot of pressure as well. And it's all on you at the end of the day. So yeah, definitely just make sure that it's something that you want to do is definitely the first step, and then go from there.
I like that. So a few episodes ago, I interviewed my friend Aaron, who he has a YouTube channel. He's got 300,000 subscribers, I think, and he's basically earning a living off of his channel. And a conversation that I had with him was to do with brand and personality. And somebody starting off in the creative business and they want to be creative, they just don't know how. Which direction would you advise, or which direction maybe have you tried to go into? More being a personality or more being a brand? I know that for myself, for the Having Words podcast, it's a mix of both. You know, the brand is Having Words, but it's with Josh Martello. And I feel like a lot of it, I suppose I relate to the YouTube space more, but I like a lot of the massive personalities such as PewDiePie and these people, you know, it's not the same if it wasn't for them. Whereas other things such as BuzzFeed and all these other channels and stuff, all the brands, you know, it doesn't matter what personality is in it, it's the brand, you know. And I suppose kind of what's your opinion on which direction should someone go into?
That definitely, again, comes down to the self-awareness and understanding the type of person you are.
Mm.
So are you an extrovert who wants to be noticed and wants to speak at all these events and promote the product and brand yourself alongside the business? Or are you someone that wants to let the business do the work and sort of hide behind that shield? It depends what you want to get out of it. Personally, I like to be sort of, I like to be in front of the camera, and I like to be the personality. So people work with Nat Media because they know me and they enjoy what I do and they enjoy my personality and what I bring to it. But if it's not for you, that's fine as well. You just got to focus on the other stuff. So I think, to be honest, it's just a case of working out who you are. You know, you're a personality, right? So it'd be a waste for you to build a business without using a personal brand to help that.
Mm.
Because it really can, if it's something you want to do, it does help, obviously. I mean, look at some, just off the top of my head, like there's a lot of business owners, Stephen Bartlett, for example, who runs Social Chain. It's a big agency. They've got offices in Manchester, whatever, New York, I don't know. He's building a personal brand purposely to promote that agency. That's what he's trying to do, right? Same as Gary Vaynerchuk. I mean, I think he a lot of what he does is growing his business, VaynerMedia, through
self-branding himself.
Yeah, so they go hand in hand. But I think the short answer is, I'm rambling, but the short answer is just work out who you are. Do you want to be the guy in front of the camera? Do you want to be the guy? Do you want to be the face of it? If not, you don't have to be. Both can work.
Mm. I like that. Both can work.
Yeah, they can.
Now, the final question, I suppose, maybe I feel like we're on such the same wavelength that I think of questions and you answer them in other questions, but that's fine.
Oh, really?
Question number five, final question. What's the next step for you? Where would you like to be in 5 years' time? You've kind of briefly answered this, but maybe in a little bit more detail.
A few things, I think. Definitely building Nat Media into something bigger.
Still with Nat Media?
Still with Nat Media, definitely. Building it into something bigger. Starting to employ more people and building the brand and getting bigger clients and stuff like that. And then aside from that is working on my own stuff, I think, sort of catapulting myself into entertainment and building a brand for myself. That's a big aim for me. So building the business and then building myself as well. And I think side by side, they'll grow. And I think the gradual aim is to build a sort of, I potentially want to work in the music industry as well, alongside musicians. So that should be interesting to see how that plays out in the future. They're probably the main pillars.
Mm.
So myself, the marketing, and then the music is something I'll probably add on.
It's interesting that like a lot of people, and I suppose this does differ depending on the person, a lot of people would have one set goal. It's like, I want to be this, I want to do this.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm in a very similar boat to you where like I kind of want to do everything and anything. You know, I'm not going to limit myself to one specific thing.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to down the line. This is something which has been more so recently because I have a podcast on Spotify as well as all the other podcast directories. I want to make a song, just one or two songs.
Okay.
Like, I don't know what I do. I used to sing and stuff as well, but I'd like to just produce something else so I cover more of that Spotify space. So I can actually say to people, this isn't the reason why I do it. I'd be like, I have a podcast and a song or like an album on yeah. Spotify. I feel like the idea of that, of being stuff that I created and something so premium and so renowned to be such an amazing platform such as Spotify, is such a cool thing at the end of the day, as well as it allows me to create stuff as well.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely such a thing as spreading yourself too thin, in that you don't put your attention anywhere. But I definitely need to do loads of different things, which is why I love what I do now, because I work with so many different clients on different ends of the spectrum. I'm never bored, and I need that. My attention span is quite short, so I need to be working on this and working on that and doing this and doing that. I need change all the time. Otherwise it just gets too stale and boring for me. So yeah, I'm the same. I think definitely just a few different things. I always want, and I mean, I look up to people like, let's say like Dwayne Johnson, for example, who has proven, and like Kevin Hart as well, and Will Smith and stuff like that. They've all proven that you don't have to do one thing. They're all actors, comedians, musicians, they have alcohol companies,
speakers, and like
production
everything.
Companies, everything, right? So that's sort of who I look up to and where I see myself going, is doing a bit of everything and doing them all really, really well. And I think it's just timing. Like right now, my focus has been on building the business. And then it'll be building myself as a personal brand and blah, blah, blah. So
alongside it, yeah.
Yeah, so I think you can't do it all at once, and you have to prioritize certain things at certain times and work out right now. I needed to be financially stable, so I needed to build the business before I could do anything else. But the overall aim would be to have my hands in lots of different buckets.
Yeah.
Is that a phrase?
Yeah. I think I know what you mean. So yeah, it's a phrase.
Have my hands in different hats.
Creative hats.
Different.
Of different shapes and sizes.
Yeah. Different shapes, colors as well.
Yeah.
And weights and all sorts.
Textures.
Yeah. Textures,
I guess.
Definitely. Yeah. Have my hand in loads of different textures. So.
We're losing the plot of the metaphor here. That was five rapid fire questions.
They were nice.
They were
nice
easy. Rapid, you did it. You ran through them. Perfect. Now, before we wrap up, Tom, firstly, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm a big fan of the podcast. I listened to a few of the episodes.
Thank you.
So I do enjoy it very
much. You've been an amazing guest.
Oh, thank you.
Now, before we wrap up, you say you listen to podcasts.
Mm.
What podcast recommendations do you have for our listeners?
I forgot what it's called. There's a really good one.
You can have a look if you want. You can find it.
It's a good one. It's got like this Josh guy in, and his latest guest was really, really good.
Really?
Yeah, he just spoke about some great things.
Yeah.
Having words.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
That's actually it. That's
really?
All you should listen to.
Incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unsubscribe to all the other ones.
No, I'm obsessed. As I say, I listen to like two podcasts a day, probably.
Yeah.
The first podcast I ever listened to was, I think it was, The School of Greatness by Lewis Howes.
I've dipped into a few of those.
I can tell because what you're doing is very similar to that.
Mm.
that was the first thing that I started listening to. I also listened to On Purpose by Jay Shetty. Is very good for that same sort of lifestyle.
Jay Shetty, I follow him on Instagram and stuff. He's very, very self-improvement motivation.
Yeah, that's one of those sort of self-help and sort of mental health sort of podcasts.
Mm.
But there's a lot of tactical stuff you can get out of it in terms of business and stuff as well with the guests he has on. For more like entertainment purposes, Impulsive by Logan Paul is very good. I like that. I'm actually a big fan of him, and I know there's a lot of controversy around that. What do you think of him?
I mean, I saw the, what is it, the Shane Dawson YouTube documentary on, was it Jake Paul?
On Jake,
his
yeah.
brother, yeah. And I just think at the end of the day, he's doing stuff to create attention and get money and get views and stuff. So like, and being at that kind of level, that kind of celebrity, that kind of YouTube celebrity, it's going to change you as a person. It's going to make what's normal to some to other people, what's normal to you is going to be so extreme to other people.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously made a lot of mistakes and there's been a lot of controversy and no one can really deny that. But the podcast is great. And as an entertainer, I find him really entertaining, actually. So yeah, I listen to that. I used to listen to True Geordie a lot.
Really? Okay.
Another YouTuber who has a podcast. I was listening to Jamie Lang today. Jamie Lang's Private Parts.
Jamie Lang.
Made in Chelsea, Jamie Lang.
Oh, okay.
Jamie Lang. Yeah. Jackmate is another YouTuber I listen to. There's so many, and it depends what I want to get from it. If I want to be motivated and inspired, there's a certain guys that I'll stick on and listen to.
That's the thing, like you were saying earlier, like it is still upcoming and it is getting saturated, but it's only saturated in the sense that it fills every single type of need as well.
Whatever you want, it's there. If you want to just have a laugh, it's there. If you want to be inspired, if you want to learn, it's there. Everything's there. So yeah, that's a great thing about podcasts. And it'll be interesting to see where that whole space goes and sort of what comes out of podcasting and who gets involved and what it turns into, because it's not early, but it's still in its development stage. As you say, a lot of people don't even know they exist, really.
Exactly. I remember I went to this course a few weeks ago and I had to explain to the guy taking the course what a podcast was. I mean, it wasn't a digital course, it was another course.
Yeah.
But I had to explain to the guy like what a podcast was, because he's like, what's a podcast? I was like, I can't even fathom. I was so confused because I'm so in depth with the space that the idea of someone not knowing what it was just so confusing to me.
I mean, I still come across adults who have no idea what, for example, influencer marketing is, or they don't know that Facebook ads are a thing. They don't know that content's tailored to them or whatever. It's crazy to me how it feels we're so in it now in this sort of new digital age. A lot of people still are so oblivious to it, which is exciting because it means there's so much more opportunity to win over new audiences and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, you're right. And also, like, I suppose the last point is, like, Spotify as well has now taken podcasting a lot more seriously.
Yeah. About a year ago, I think they started to actually promote podcasts.
It's so exciting, really exciting for the whole space, because Spotify is one of, obviously, probably the biggest streaming music site out there now.
Where do you get most listeners? Is it on Spotify?
What's really interesting is the fact that I did a poll, because I was like, oh, I might as well start doing polls to see what kind of my audience kind of leans towards.
Mm.
And most of my audience listen on Spotify, and I was so surprised, because I thought it would have been iTunes, because a lot of my friends have iPhones and they listen to podcasts through the podcast app on iPhones.
Okay.
But yeah, it is actually Spotify. I think it's Spotify by quite a lot, then iTunes, then the occasional Castbox or Stitcher, or download or listen to it direct through Libsyn, the podcasting hosting platform. It is quite interesting. I do think anyone doing any sort of form of creative thing, using the poll system on Instagram or Facebook or just anything, is so beneficial, because even if it's only exposed to 5% of your audience, it's still gonna show some sort of trend that's going on, which is so, so crucial.
Yeah, it's like market research, I guess, isn't it?
It is.
You might have used to go into the street with a clipboard and say, what do you want from this
from a brand, or where's your attention, or how can we win you over? Now you can just put up a poll. It's very simple. It's great. Yeah.
It's exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting thing to use.
Now, Tom, do you have any projects or people you'd like to shout out? I firstly want to shout out your business, Nat Media.
Shout out Nat Media.
If anyone's looking for any content creation, any, I suppose, one-time things as well, like one-time video things, anything, they know where to go to, Tom.
Yeah, anything in sort of that realm, you can check out the website. It's natmedia.co.uk or .com, whatever you prefer. Yeah, if you're a brand or a business and you want to sort of delve into social and content creation, give me a call, give me an email, and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, where can people find you other than the website?
They can find me on the Instagram.
On the Instagram.
On that Instagram app thingy. at Tom the Trass, NATTRASS. Yeah, that's sort of where I hang out most.
Yeah, and shout outs.
Shout out Josh Martello for coming on my podcast today.
Hang on a minute.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having you. Shout out my mum. Hello, mum. Who else do I want to shout out? Just you and my mum, actually.
Thanks, that's good.
Yeah, just you and my mum.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks. And so I'm going to shout out you and your mum as well,
you.
Actually.
Yeah, she deserves two shout outs.
Two shout outs. I shouted out my mum earlier, so that's right.
Mums are great. Big up for the mums.
Thank you for listening, everyone. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit, and can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/havingwords. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, literally any podcast directory. Tom and I are about to record a post show, which you can find exclusively on the Patreon. Only a 15-20 minute post show. It's going to be exploring questions which are very unlike this podcast, more personal, more tailored towards Tom and Tom's opinions and his personality and his traits. So go check that out. Tom, before we wrap up, do you have any final words?
Yeah, my final words are, I hope you're all having a really good day or a night if it's nighttime. Hope you have a really good sleep as well.
If you're asleep.
Just remember to always have your hands in different textures.
I like that. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
And see you next week, guys.
Bye.